Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and get our meeting started. Cache Valley Transit Board of Trustees. I'll use my handy gavel once in a while. Thank you very much. It's good to welcome all of you here. Welcome staff and any visitors that we might have with us. So I got to step to that sign. There's a bus stop right there.
We'll talk about it.
Okay, all right. So looking at the agenda, we kind of need a motion to accept the minutes of November 14th meeting, and maybe in the same motion approve the agenda for tonight's meeting. Is that okay? Anybody care to make that motion to approve both? Nobody wants to?
I will move.
Okay.
That we, give me the words.
Approve both.
That we approve the minutes as written.
And the agenda.
And the agenda.
Thank you.
Two for one.
Appreciate it.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or corrections to the minutes or suggested changes to the agenda? If not, we'll go ahead and vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. Next meeting is next year, hard to believe already, January 23rd, 2019. And I mentioned to Todd, we need to change, I don't know if he changed it on the agenda. We are now a BTEC, not BATC. We're Bridgerland Technology College, a small thing. But that's the official name of this college, I believe.
It went from a four-letter acronym to five.
Did it? What? I think it's just BTEC.
Oh, all right.
1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, sorry, Sean.
No, that's good to know.
Okay.
This was funny because a few years ago we had several meetings about.
And he's voting on the budget with us tonight, right?
No, it's because remember a few years ago we were talking about changing CBTD to CTD?
Yeah.
Because no one liked the four-letter acronym.
I know.
Like four-letter words.
I know. You're right. Okay.
Anyway.
Number five, there are questions or comments from for management and the board. This is before we open the public hearing that we've advertised. Any other questions not related to budget?
I heard a very unusual, well, not an unusual, but I heard a compliment Sunday about Cache Valley Transit District from an individual that rides the bus off of 18th North going to the transfer center and then on to the university. And he was talking about the bus driver that greets them going into the university and how pleasant she was. She always has a fact of the day for them and wishes them positive things during the day. And he says, I feel so good getting off that bus on my way to college.
Awesome. I ride that bus,
that was just
and it's
very
true.
Special.
Wow, we need to have a staff compliment that driver, and probably all the drivers, really, but we appreciate what they do. So thank you, Dean, for that nice compliment. We appreciate it. So the item six is a public hearing on the budget for fiscal year 2019, which is the same as calendar year, I believe, 2019 for us, is it not? Todd, so I would now declare the public hearing open. It's been advertised in the newspaper. So the public hearing is open. Are there comments from the public related to the budget that we've talked about a couple times and have approved tentatively?
Is there
last
a public
month?
Here?
No public.
I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. Anybody back there want to comment? Anybody at all? Okay, so seeing no public here, maybe it's appropriate to get a motion to close the public hearing. Jeannie knows that well, I think.
We never moved to do that, but I'll move to close the public hearing.
Okay, we have a motion to close. Do we have a second? Roger seconded the motion to close. All in favor of closing the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. And the next item is consider adoption of the budget for 2019, and we can discuss that further, but let's get a motion and a second on that. Do we have a motion to approve the budget for next year?
I have moved that we approve the budget as described to us in the documents that we have and discussed previously.
Mr. Quayle moved. Is there a second to approve the budget? Thank you very much. And discussion on the budget. Questions, comments, concerns?
What What's FAST Act?
Curtis, remind me of the acronym. I can't even remember. So the FAST Act is the federal program that the funding for public transit comes through. So every time they pass a bill, I can almost do safety, but every time they pass a bill, they do it with an acronym that spells something out. And I can look it up probably. I can't remember off the top of my head what FAST Act stands for.
Well, it's a federal government thing, man.
It's the bill that provides the federal.
Fixing America's Surface Transportation.
There you go. Fixing America's Surface Transportation Act.
Wow. Somebody worked hard on that.
There's always a theme.
Okay, so we've learned a new thing. That's very good. Any other discussion on the budget before we vote? If we're ready, all in favor of approving the budget for next year, fiscal 19, say aye.
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 Are there any opposed? Say no.
No.
Okay, we have one no. Any abstentions? Okay, thank you very much. Next we have, I believe it's Ron, Craig, two people asked to be excused tonight. Lloyd Berenson was not able to be here, asked to be excused, and Craig Wright asked to be excused. So we're going to ask Ron.
Actually, I've asked Sue to take care of that.
Oh, okay. So we're delegating all over.
Yeah,
okay, Sue is going to handle number
That's
eight.
That's the blessings of being the chair.
It's pretty easy, though. So I'd like to make a motion that we accept the interpretation of 2.10, communication and support to the board. As you look at this, wait, I need a second.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Thank you, Norm.
Thanks, Norm. So as you look at this sheet here, you can see that everybody has accepted it. So unless there's a need for further discussion, I'd like to call for the motion.
Okay, all in favor of approving the interpretation, general manager's interpretation of policy 2.1, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Thank you very much. Now we have a board chair report. And we heard from Eric. I was going to share a concern, and maybe I'll still do it, but I wanted Eric to be here. I was meeting with Mayor Daines, Holly Daines, this week on some issues related to where I work, Bragg, the River Association of Governments, and she brought up Cache Valley Transit, indicated that Eric had met with her more than once and just kind of expressed concern about some of the things we've heard about and I thought we'd kind of dealt with. And I guess it just concerned me that one board member takes it upon himself to kind of go around and suggest that his opinion is right and maybe the rest of us don't care or don't know too much. That's the implication. That's how I interpret it, at least. And maybe that's not quite right. But and then Eric, months ago, and we never mentioned it publicly, but Holly was at a Cache County Council meeting where Eric shared his concerns with the council. Some of the information was not totally accurate that he shared, according to Holly. I was not there. I don't know. Does anybody else have concerns? And I hate to talk about somebody when they're not here to defend themselves.
May I ask a question? Are those occasions stating it as a board, or is he stating it as a board member?
Well, I don't know. There's kind of a fine line there. So, yeah, we all have a right to express an opinion.
That is correct.
But we still are the board. We have the Cache County one. When I looked at their minutes afterwards, he said he was there as not as the board member, but he was a board member. But in their minutes, it showed Eric Ashcroft, Cache Valley Transit board member. So, you know, I think it's hard to go to a meeting like that if you are a board member and separate your own opinion.
Because it appears that he is a board member.
Yeah.
Speaking for the board.
Well, I was at the same meeting also. But Eric is also the Cache County rep.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
I mean, we're all entitled to report to our own cities and stuff. But I was at the Cache County, mm-hmm. too, when they were talking about raising the sales tax, which
yeah.
I'm against. So.
But Norm, I listened to that. I listened to the audio on that. because I couldn't make it. So I downloaded the audio and I listened to it. I heard your comments and I heard Eric's comments. Eric did. I'd get up and say, you know, I'm here. I'm on the board, but I'm here as a private citizen. But then he backed up everything he said was based on information that he got as a board member. So they took it as a board member reporting to the county. That's how it came across. That's how it showed up in the meeting minutes. And Eric did, listening to it, Eric, in my opinion, as I listened to it, didn't exactly come across with correct information.
Or maybe it was more like it wasn't complete information.
That's...
Then not correct. I think it was more not incomplete.
In other words, he shaped it the way he wanted it.
Well, yeah. And I
met with my mayor. Holly mm-hmm. and I met with Mayor Young. Mm-hmm. And even he's brought forward information that Eric is getting out there. And he said it is not positive. And that's all he would tell us. He wouldn't tell us what. He just says it is not positive toward Cache Valley Transit District.
Now, who is this from, Ron?
This is from my mayor, Jeff Young.
Richmond
City Mayor. And we met with him, and he is, I think he's going to be the senior mayor for the Mayor's Association. So he does it for next year, and then someone will do it the following year. And so he just was letting us know that the information that's out there is not positive, and it comes from Eric. And there's a couple of other people out there that aren't helping it either.
And as Jeannie said, it's their right to share their opinion, but when they cast a negative light on the rest of us, that's a concern to me. You know, like we don't know what's going on, and they're the only person that may know what's going on with Cache Valley Transit. So here's what, you know, and obviously some people don't support transit and maybe never will. But here's the thing I would suggest, and I've actually asked Todd to do this. Tell me if I'm okay. Let's ask Todd to prepare a list of bullet points. Describe it going way back to day one when transit started, the vote of the people in Logan City, the early 1990s. Make it short and sweet. Important facts about CVTD that we can share with our communities and other citizens that kind of help counter negativism that may be out there from whatever source. And I think we can do that by early January and have it ready and let us comment on it in the January meeting and decide to share it.
I've not heard anything negative from our city officials, but I would really like to take a copy of that forward and discuss it with them. I think that would be very productive.
So Todd will work on that, share it with the executive committee, bring it back next month. Any other comments? I don't like to talk about a board member that's not here.
Okay, I'm going to just say that I think that we need to be extremely careful that we do not try to mold someone's opinion to match everyone's. We need to have facts. We need to be sharing what we understand the CBTD to be doing and be able to answer questions about the budget if there are any, be able to answer questions in the public forum if they're asked of us. I don't think we should be sharing negative information, you know, because it's negative information. But I also think we need to be careful as a board not to try and have board speak, because we are each individuals and we do have our own voice. And I'm not defending anyone's, you know, position or any of that. I just think we all need to be careful to not collectively say, you have to stop talking like that kind of thing. I just think that we need to somehow more positively address the situation.
And hopefully that list that we can all have input on will help do that.
Yeah,
I agree with you. What you're saying, as long as the people are sharing accurate information,
mm-hmm.
I think that's important.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think it's our responsibility as a board member to share accurate information. And I think that if you have a personal opinion that you are asked for, we should be able to share those personal opinions.
But if you're on the board, it might be nice to say, most of the other board members don't agree with me, but this is my opinion. It
right.
might be nice
exactly.
to say that.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I agree with you entirely.
Jean, to add to that, is with the conclusion of 210 today, policy 2.10, we now are going to move into how the board behaves.
Mm-hmm.
Starting looking at that as how we can learn to work together to speak as one voice so that we don't have this. So like if the board decides that we're going to do A, then that's what A is, and the board promotes that. Because we've had time to discuss it, we'll do whatever we need to. But once the decision's made, under policy governance, we speak as one voice. And yes, we can echo our own opinions, but we need to make sure that we have a positive image of what we're doing. We can discuss anything we want at the board, at the table here.
Mm-hmm.
But once those decisions are made, we need to move forward as a unified body. And we need to be able to make sure that we're doing that. We need to be, and I'm echoing what you just said last time we talked, is we need to be respectful of each other's opinions and we need to honor those.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone disagrees with you, that's wonderful. We can always learn to, we can always accept that we can never get two points together. But when the board makes a decision, I really think that under, or what we're going to learn this next year under policy governance, is we got to work, we speak as one voice. Otherwise, we got 19 different opinions.
Any other comments related to that? Any other comments related to that?
Along
I'm only
with that
a third
list,
of an opinion.
Along with that list that Todd's going to put together, are there things to back up or support the things that Eric has been talking about to show the lacking of information that was presented at those meetings? I don't know what was discussed, but is there things that you're saying that was things were missing? Is there additional information available to fill in those?
Well, three things were mentioned specifically by Mayor Holly Danes to me. One is that Cache Valley Transit's going to going ahead and building a new building. We haven't made that decision. You know, that was her understanding from the conversation. Maybe she misunderstood. But that's not a fact. You know, we might consider that at some future point.
No, all we voted on was to revamp the plans.
Right. The general manager's salary was brought up again. Well, we beat that to death and looked at it, and most of us are pretty comfortable with that for a variety of reasons. And one other one was the difference in benefits from the management team to other staff. But as we've talked, that's not inconsistent with Logan City policy, with the organization I work for. Not every staff member gets the same benefits. So we talked about that too. We can look at it again if we want to. But some of those things we have analyzed and some weren't quite accurate. So that's all I'm saying. Unrelated to that, and we did put money in the budget for marketing and some, you know, I was a little hesitant about marketing, but I kind of, the more I thought about it, you know, our ridership's down. Our air quality's bad this last week. Marketing might be a good thing. How many of you have you seen the advertisement on television? I've seen it a few times, and I think it's extremely well done. They're singing and dancing in the streets of Provo, and they're talking about UTA's new fare-free service in downtown Provo to combat congestion and air quality in Provo. Have you seen that? It's a whole production out in the road with the UTA bus behind it. It's good.
That's what a multi-million dollar budget will get for you.
Yeah. I don't know if we can get that for $200,000 if Jeannie wants to dance. You know.
Yeah, they have to put that out there because it isn't going to be fare free forever. It's only fair free till they get the ridership
up.
Well,
and then the governor of Utah, his budget, Governor Herbert's budget, has $100 million in there to help clean up the air. And one little thought as well, we'll make more fair free trips for UTA, you know, as a possibility. And maybe there are other things,
maybe
too.
We could apply for some of that money to pay for our marketing.
Yeah. do. You're right. You're right.
But you see, but you know, I also think that part of this marketing issue is that it'll help us how to better communicate with our elected officials. I think there is. It's one of the things that Mayor Young pointed out is that we're only hearing. We're not hearing much from you as to what you are doing. He says, I know you're doing great because you keep me informed. He says, but are we really keeping them well enough informed to where when they hear negative stuff, they can actually say, no, that ain't true because I know that our people are, I know what they're doing because we're keeping them informed. And I really think the marketing will help us do that, help us market to the elected official because they change every so many years.
Yes, they do.
Thank you for the discussion. Please know I appreciate Eric. I've expressed that appreciation to him, and I will again. But I may mention something related to this discussion to him if you feel it's appropriate. So
it that's might be appropriate for the president of CBTD to go to the mayor's meeting once a year.
I think you're exactly right.
And do some sort of a presentation about what's going on.
Suggestion.
It comes from a different voice than from Todd. I mean, you can certainly go, Todd, but I think perhaps as the board president, that would be a good idea.
Take a few of us even, potentially,
yep.
Yes.
You might take the representative from, you know, rotate around and take a representative with.
Good
and
point.
I think
yeah,
it would be
point.
A really good idea.
And we'll have that list in hand in January to do that. So thank you very much for your suggestions. I appreciate it. That's all I have. General Manager's report.
So a couple things. You can see we got a bus stop sign here. And if you notice, it's according to the season, right? So right now it's winter and snowplow and all that, so it's dirty. You see that it's obviously been through the snowplow weather. But I wanted to bring that so you can see, and it's missing one other sign that we put on there. But one of the things that we put on the signs is a QR code. And again, I know some of you, we've explained this before, but we've got new board members, so I'm just trying to reiterate and do a better job of communicating some of the things that are going on. So it's got a QR code on there, so at any time, somebody can put their phone up there, their smartphone, and scan that.
Only
and
if
it
it's
will
smart enough.
What's that?
Only if it's smart enough.
Yeah, only if it's smart enough. And it will tell them when the next bus is coming. So this is the last piece of the website that we're putting together, and we're just finalizing some last-minute tweaks on that. But so what it will do is it will requesting this information, and then it was requesting this information, and then it will tell them, here's the next time that the bus comes, and then it will give them the rest of the day as well. But it automatically codes that. We know from our analytics that 80% of our website traffic is done on a phone. Done on a mobile phone. So the website, all of this has been built with a mobile device in mind, and so it's really touchscreen friendly to scroll and do a lot of things. So I wanted to kind of show you the website's been up, and I'm sure many of you are probably most, oh, I did the wrong button. That was not good. I probably ruined that. Well, I'll have to let it warm up again. I know, because I hit the wrong button. Oh, look at that. It's coming back up. I'm sorry, I should have let Colton do this instead of me trying to figure this out. But anyway, so...
Okay, we have to turn lights off. I can hardly see it.
Yeah, we might have to. It's going to come up a little bit stronger.
It's kind of fun. It moves. It makes you dizzy.
What is that $13.99?
Oh, yay. Thank you.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Jeff, for the question. We'll explain that right here. I'll just go right here. So this is the landing page. This is the home page. And again, if you pull up your phone, it's cvtdbus.org. If you want to play along, you sure can. So it's up and running. You will see we still, they can link back to our old website if they want to, because it takes some time. I mean, it's been up and running for about 3 weeks now. And then we got a little link up here. Tell us what you think so they can give us comments and feedback. So far, it's been all positive. I mean, there's been some challenges as far as the links got broken as we've been trying to do this. But as far as the design, the layout, the ease of use, everything's been extremely positive from the public. But so if you go to Next Bus, you can see when you highlighted it, it highlights. When you go to Next Bus, this is where that number, Jeff, is very important. So if I select, I'm on route, let's say, 2, and I'm at stop 1,034. That's what that number is, Jeff, that four-digit number. Every stop has a stop ID, so that way they can look it up. They don't have to know their address exactly. They can look that up. And what that will tell, again, is it will look at the time the person's requesting the information, and then it will give the next approximate time that the bus will be there. So you can see the buses will arrive no earlier than, so the next time will be at 6:30, and then it gives you the remainder of the day. So you know, we're trying to make it so it's helpful information for folks. Again, what's on this landing page are the things that people most commonly are looking for based on our analytics, based on where they go on the website. So there's a place here where they can look at the route and schedule, and they can look at, you know, the route, and they can see what the schedule is for that particular route. Again, they can scroll and just look and see. And then you can see that they can do plan my route. They can actually go in there and plan a trip. So again, we know that about 25-30% of our ridership typically is turning over, is new, especially in a college town where we have new students coming to town frequently. So they may not know exactly where they're at. They can put in, this is where I'm at, this is where I want to go, this is what I, you know, when I want to leave, or they can say, this is when I want to arrive by, put all of that information in, get me there the fastest, they can say, get me there with the fewest transfers, get me there with the least walking. So there's a lot of options to this. This is a really robust planner, and it will plan out the trip for them, and it will tell them exactly what routes to take, where to walk to get the bus, what the location is of the bus stop.
So if you put in where you are, do you have to know exactly where you are?
No, I don't have the keyboard, but you could put in, I'm at the Tabernacle, or you could put in, I'm at I'm trying to think, the Bluebird Restaurant. I mean, it's pretty intuitive. It's pretty good. I mean, there might be an occasion where you put something in and it doesn't quite figure it out, but it's pretty good. I've really tried to break this thing, and so I'm pretty good at breaking things. Alerts and detours, this is probably one of the biggest things. And so, again, on the mobile device, if you're on the mobile device, at the bottom of every page, and on the landing page, it actually has all the alerts and detours, and you can just scroll on your phone. So that's always in front of you. Just because we have so much that we're dealing with construction or snow routes, things of that nature. And so this will tell you, so this stop's not available, it's closed for construction. The next closest stop, and so if there's a stop close by, we'll list that out, type of thing. Let's go back. Please ask questions if you have any. And then rider tools, it just expands into a whole bunch of rider tools. So again, there's lots of opportunity here. Our hours, bike, how to ride the bike, how to ride where park and ride facilities are, you know, all sorts of things like that. Over here as well, you'll see that we have information about us, board of trustees, board meetings. We have the history, some of that of what Roger's talking about, how we got established, things of that nature. So anyway, questions that I can answer, I'd encourage you just go spend time on it, check it out.
What's the website again?
cbtdbus.org.
Have you stress tested this on like a just not Wi-Fi service but a cellular service?
It's, yeah,
freakishly slow on the home pages.
So that's one thing we're still trying to fine tune is that making it so it loads quicker.
That home page is so dynamic. I just don't think it works.
Yeah, and you're right. The transition from Wi-Fi to cellular is something that we need to do, and we may end up having because it's loading full motion video, right?
Yeah, I mean that's really cool looking, but
yeah,
you know, I'm not gonna be using the bus when I'm connected to the Wi-Fi. So
correct. So I think it's a great point, and I think it's one of those things we're still trying to do some fine tweaks, and we may end up losing that. To your point, it may just be a static picture or something like that.
It's cool nonetheless.
Yeah.
Good job.
So, yeah, anyway, I appreciate the comment. And again, just simple things, air quality thing, that's tied to the air quality down at Salt Lake, so it automatically changes, that type of stuff. Any questions, website? All right. This time I probably, I'll just do that. Let's see. I think think that was it. Maybe I'll just tell you, had the opportunity to go on, was it Monday, Ron? And Ron offered to come down with me. So Ron and I went to, we try to at least once a year. Sometimes we can get maybe two meetings a year, but we try to before the start of the legislative session to get all of the transit providers in the state. So again, that's SunTrans in St. George, CATS in Cedar City, Basin Transit in the UNOB CVTD, and then UTA City CVTD, and then UTA. We try to get us all together in the same room. We can talk about what are the issues we're facing. UTA is very gracious to host it. They're very gracious to also really kind of talk about what they're seeing from legislative issues, because they obviously have staff that's what they do, and you know, they have connections. And so they help us to understand it and help us to understand some of the things they're facing. It helps us as smaller providers also to understand our role in trying to get involved and how can we help. But so we had a good meeting. I think we talked about a lot of issues. It was, what, about 4 hours, I think, Ron?
Yeah. One of the things that I noticed is that we're not the only ones suffering from a decline in ridership. Everybody has been suffering a decline since 2012, including UTA. So it's not just CVTD. It's everyone in the state is suffering from some form of a ridership decline.
So we talked about that, Roger. I mean, as I've looked at it, there's a couple things I think. We saw before when fuel prices went over $3.50, we really saw ridership. But even as they started pushing over $3, we would see that, and we haven't seen that quite so much. And so I started going, well, what is the difference there? One of the things that I've started trending is unemployment rate. So 2009, you really saw that crash. We had a lot of people underemployed, and the employment rate went 4 to 5%, and it was that way for quite a few of those years after that. And right now, our unemployment rate's 2.8, 2.7. And so that unemployment rate significantly different, I mean, a couple percent. And so I think that's one thing that factors into that, folks, right now. I remember when that happened, we were inundated for employment from employees, and we had engineers from Thycol and stuff that were just saying, I just need a job, you know, and they came to work for us, and they were highly educated people. And so I think that's one of those factors. But that led to a discussion, because I actually asked that question. I'm always trying to figure out, what can we do different? And we had this big discussion about chasing ridership. And again, that's a metric we've used in our industry for decades. But we're trying, and in this meeting we kind of discussed, we're trying to figure out how do we really transition and educate about, it's about mobility, it's about connection, connecting people to employment, connecting people to, you know, social activity, connecting people to training. And then how do we do that in an efficient way, so that we're still making sure that our cost per trip is effective? But sometimes we may say, from a societal standpoint, rather than just grow ridership, we also want to provide coverage to people that may don't have other choices, and that's going to hurt overall growth in ridership. That might cause it to not be quite – but how do we do that efficiently? So we had a discussion about that, and I think we're still having a discussion. How do we do that? Because ultimately, we do want to affect ridership. We want to get people out of their car when that makes sense. And so we talked about, you know, maybe green bikes and how do we partner with them. We talked about, you know, how do we possibly look at other things like voucher programs. How do we look at, you know, other ways in which we can partner and make transportation effective.
UTA uses green bike, and they discovered that everybody takes the bus up the hill to the University of Utah. They take the green bikes back down the hill, and they end up with 1,000 bikes in the down here, and then they got to find a way to get them all back up there.
So, happened with the orange ones.
Yeah. But it was interesting, and that term mobility is interesting because they're looking at, and I guess the term is first mile, last mile, as to how you connect to the system. And it was really interesting that now they're looking, instead of just transit, it's mobility of the individual. How do you get them from, like, say, from my house in Richmond to the bus stop to Front Runner? Because I was going to go up to the U the other day, University of Utah Hospital, and go from there, you know, and I mapped it all the way up. And they said, we can get you there. But I said, but you can't get me there in the time that I need to get to. He says, but we're working on it. You know, he says, we're looking at those things. And they're trying to find ways to make sure that we can get you out of your car.
And one of the
things, as long as they keep building roads, they won't get people out of their cars.
One of the things that they're looking at specifically there is how do we create an opportunity to partner with different agencies to where we can partner with Green Bike and Lyft and Uber, and people only pay the fare one place, but they're able to transition and they don't have to worry about having to pay the fare again. So that's something they're trying to work on. One thing, just an update, and Roger's talked about this several times, and Roger kind of really was helping lead out on this, but the connection to Box Elder County, whether it's via Tremont and Brigham City, and then to the Wasatch Front, they have released the RFP, right, the request for proposal to actually have somebody come in and bid on that and do that study, which, again, what they're trying to do is that from that they would look at transit demand from Cache Valley down to the Wasatch Front, Cache Valley to Tremont, Cache Valley to Brigham City, and then look at what are the various recommendations of how they would do the mode of transit, you know, whether that's a, you know, vanpool, is that a commuter bus, is that, you know, what is the mode that they would recommend, and then, you know, what would that cost, what kind of ridership would you see? Anything I'm missing there, Roger?
No, I think the request for qualifications and proposal says they'd like the study done by September of next year. So we're a ways away, but it's been talked about for the past year. Todd and I have both been to meetings with UTA and Box Elder County officials and Jeff Gilbert, Cache Metropolitan Planning Organization. You know, how can we better get people from Tremont here? People from Tremont here, is there a way to do it? If not a bus, a van pool. We'll see what the study comes up with. We're getting people from Logan to Brigham City to connect to UTA. So, and a lot of Box Elder County elected officials, mayors, county commissioners, have been telling me for a year or two, they'd love to get Cache Valley Transit over there. So, but figuring out how to pay their fair share, and is there enough ridership, hopefully that's what this study will help determine.
But I know we get those questions as well from the public. We currently have Salt Lake Express, and they make 9 trips a day. Is that correct, guys? 8 trips? How many trips do you remember? Yeah. What is it, Jillian? Yeah. So they make a significant amount of trips over the hill, but people have to pay a fare. And so we've heard from the public, you know, when are you going to provide that connection? And so you may be hearing that as well. And so if you are, let them know that this study's being done, and September of next year, they just give us an idea of what the next steps might be. And that will just give us an idea of what the next steps might be. And obviously, we'll keep that dialogue going with those entities. And so anyways, good things. So I think that's all I've got.
All right. Did we cover everything, Le'Aaron? You're pretty quiet.
Oh, thank you, Roger. I'm sorry, I forgot. So you have a book in front of you, 117 Amazing Things to Do in Logan. Thank you so much. I even had it on my list. I did. So this is something, if you know Julie Hollis Terrell over at the Cache Tourism Group, this is something her and her husband put together. And I believe it's number 110 is Cache Valley Transit. And so we're in the book, and rightly so, right? That's an amazing thing to do in Cache Valley. But a lot of these things that they listed here, you could take Cache Valley Transit to do that. Right? Are we 100?
Are we
100?
Are we the flamboyant flowers?
We're 100. I apologize. We are 100. So we thought we'd provide you a copy, and as Patrick said, maybe it's a great way to have your kids go exploring. You know, date night. You know, I don't know. There's lots of opportunities there.
CBTD.
Yeah.
Don't we have some little activity Saturday we need to talk about?
Thank you. Yes. Thank you, Roger. I'm missing everything here. So Saturday is the board social, and so thanks to Charisse and Holly for helping us put that together. So we're going to meet at noon at the Bluebird Restaurant, and again, I think most of you have committed, but noon at the restaurant.
Us and a guest, spouse, guest, whatever.
Correct.
Right?
two of you, chicken cordon bleu, baked ham, and then all the other fixings, salad and whatnot. And then the Bar J Wranglers starts at 1:15, and I think they want you to be in your seats by 1, if I remember correctly.
1:30.
Is it 1:30? Be in your seat by 1:15. There you go. So anyway, so yeah, we'd love to look forward to seeing you there.
Okay, anything else we ought to talk about? If I remember correctly, this will be the last meeting I have the opportunity to chair, and it's been a pleasure for the past couple of years. And I'll just hand the gavel officially to our new chair, Holly. You're very welcome.
She grabbed it.
So you want to adjourn the meeting if there's nothing else? Thank you all. Great meeting.
So I want to tell everybody that if you like the Tabernacle series, Carla Axtell will be playing the organ this evening at 7, and she packs them in. So if you want
to
spend a wonderful hour.
Thank you.
Hey, Roger, are you still on the board or just not the chair? Or you
I don't know that for sure. It's kind of up to Mayor Dane, so I told her it was totally up to her. So I'm a Logan City appointee.
Well, thank you.
And we appreciate your
thank
work,
you
Roger.
I appreciate you all. It's a good group.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
With that, we'll adjourn Roger's last meeting.
All right. She's going to be good.